had a pair of chaps made of wool and a colourful check shirt and a neckerchief and a gun on the side. And then I, big Stetson, of course, big hat.
Now, that's a description that would fit many an Aussie kid playing cowboys and Indians with his mates in the days when the Wild West ruled. But this wasn't a budding Buffalo Bill pretending in his own backyard. This was a precocious kid performing on the famous Tivoli Theatre Circuit. Fast forward 20 years, and he'd traded the check shirt for a Bermuda jacket, the gun for a microphone, and the chaps, well, sophisticated chaps just didn't wear that kind of gear on bandstand.
Grade Wicker possessed a strong voice, but was always uncomfortable as a pop singer in the rock and roll era. He recorded a handful of singles, though none became major hits, appeared regularly on radio and television shows, and then seemingly disappeared. What happened to him? This is Recollections. I'm Geordie Kilby.
And I'm David Kilby. And it's a question we were not alone in asking.
Grade Wicker was a hell of a great singer. I remember Grade, and I don't know what happened to Grade. He went to, after a while, when a contract was up, and I really honestly don't know what happened to Grade, where he went to, whatever, but he was a super singer, Grade.
Now, you might recall that we spoke to producer and songwriter Joe Halford a little while back. He wrote and produced some of Grade's records, and that was his response. Well, recently, we discovered firsthand a few answers, and they tell a tale that includes Gladys Moncrief, Helen Reddy, Hayman Island, and Yodeling Milkman.
Now, we've always wondered about the name Grade. Turns out his real name was Graham.
When I made the first recording, the studio said, oh, we can't use Graham, it's not a very good name. I said, well, my sister used to call me either Grade or Gado. They said, well, Grade, that'll do, that's the name we'll use. So that was it.
That first recording was Over the Rainbow with Prettiest Babe on the Other Side. It was released on HMV Records in 1959, and it came about like this.
I came to Sydney from the country when I restarted singing again, and one of the places I went to try and get some work was at a place called the El Bongo, and Alf Luciani and Tony Gahar were playing there as a duo, Alf on accordion and Tony on drums. And I sang them a few songs, and Alf didn't want me because I couldn't play an instrument. And Tony said, no, he's got a great voice, let's go with him. And so they said, all right, if you can learn to play the guitar, we'll take you on.
And so you learnt?
Did I? I had bloody fingers from trying to play a few chords on the guitar so I could work.
It was certainly worth the effort. It turned out that the location of at least one of the regular venues was very convenient.
The EMI was just up around the corner, and somebody from there must have heard me, and then they approached Alf, who's a band leader, about recording particularly Over the Rainbow, which was the top thing that everybody used to love when I sang it. And the next thing I know, they were asking Alf to sign a contract. It must have been to make 5 records, I don't know. And so that's where I started with EMI, with Over the Rainbow.
That's just a bit of Over the Rainbow by the Alf Luciani Trio, plus 2, featuring Grade Wicker and the Sapphires. Now, it might have been one of the most popular songs in the clubs, but on teen slanted radio, it was the flip side, Prettiest Babe, that attracted most attention.
I was never the type of voice that suited rock and roll, really. It just wasn't right for me, although I kept at it because I earned money from it and that's what I needed.
And you know, when you think about it, it isn't surprising that he felt that way, because he would have been about 28 at the time, older than many of the other up-and-coming stars. But it didn't worry him.
I didn't even think about it. To be quite honest, to tell you straight, all I was interested in was making money and existing, because that's about what I've done nearly all my life.
I got a girl, she's the prettiest babe in town. And I'm not afraid to show that pretty babe around. Well, when we go up
the prettiest babe.
That's Prettiest Babe, showing a rockier side of Grade Wicker. And that's probably because it was written by Grade with a young Sammy Gahar.
Well, Sammy, we used to call him Little Sammy because he followed us. That's the Luciani Trio. And his, I'm not sure whether it was his brother or cousin. I think his brother, Tony Gahar, was the drummer. And Sammy was a little hanger-on, used to be all around, all over the place. And every now and again, we would get together and sit down, and we happened to sit down and write a couple of songs.
Another of the songs they wrote together was Why Cry, which followed their very first single very quickly. In fact, it's interesting, the two singles appear to have been cut at the same time, around October 1959. They were consecutive HMV releases, but Over the Rainbow, the first one, as we noted, is credited to the Alf Luciani Trio featuring Grade Wicker, whereas Why Cry gives Grade top billing. He's with the Alf Luciani Trio on that one.
So it seems like the label wasn't quite sure how to market them. Alf Luciani with an established nightclub trio, or the new vocalist in town. Either way, a regular live gig was important, and Alf and Grade had a good one at El Bongo in King's Cross.
We used to play on a little stage there, mostly Latin American music. And then eventually his father and himself bought the El Bongo, and we continued there. We also did the Maroubra Junction Hotel. We used to do there until a certain period, and then we'd go straight from there up to the El Bongo, where we'd play till 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock or whatever it was in the morning.
Was it good money?
in those days, I suppose it was average. It wasn't brilliant money. No, I don't really recall what I got, but I got spaghetti bolognese and a chocolate milkshake during the night anyway. So that was all right.
Now, we always thought that Prettiest Babe and Over the Rainbow were his first recordings, but it turns out that they weren't. He'd already cut an obscure single in a Queensland country town some years before.
My mate and I decided we were going to drive around Australia, so we bought this old bomb and we headed off. We got as far as Dalby in Queensland, and there we stopped because we ran out of money, and we got a job, both of us, on a wheat and sheep property. Me mainly driving the tractor and he doing general farm work. After that, I was employed as a deliverer of letters. I used to ride a bike around the houses and deliver the mail, and then they moved me. I think they were moving me somewhere. Then I went onto the counter on the post office. Then I went upstairs to the telegraph department, and then I went to where we used to add up all the money for the phone calls, because in those days, every phone call had to be written down by the girls on a slip of paper, and I used to have to get them and add them all up at the end of the day and make them tally both down and up. And then this girlfriend of mine found out that I could sing and put me onto this fellow whose name is Wal Tilston. I made a record which was sold in Dalby. It was sold through the furniture retail outlet where this Wal Tilston worked. So we made a few records that were sold through there, and I got a good response from the locals, and everybody told me what I should do. So away I went. I took off, came down to Sydney to try and break into the big time.
Which to a certain extent he did, as Grade Wicker. What we discovered was that as Graham Wicker, he'd already made the big time when he was little.
Among the youngsters billed as the star of the future in Tivoli's anniversary show stands out diminutive cowboy Graham Wicker. Young Wicker's tender talents were first stirred by the sound of the local milkman's yodelling in the Daily Dawn. Going the milkman one better, young Wicker yodeled until his sister took him in hand and taught him she's coming round the mountain. This was the number which took young Wicker through 13 competitions, 12 firsts, 1 second, and led him onto the youth show. Youth show star Graham Wicker, now at the Tivoli.
Now that's Jane Wicker, Grade's wife, reading from a faded newspaper clipping. And it's just a short piece, but it gives an idea of his early successes.
And here's another paper clipping we like, this time from the Argus on Saturday the 30th of November 1940. And it reads, 3UZ in Melbourne tomorrow. At 5, the new live artist feature, Tivoli Time, features a guest artist, Graham Wicker, 8-year-old hillbilly humorist.
Well, I started started off singing as a child star when I was seven. I was called the Yodeling Cowboy then. And I went for about 5 years. I was on the Tivoli circuit for 2 years and on the youth show with Colin Croft and sang on stage with Gladys Moncrief and all those old stars that were around at that time. I was the youngest, but the eldest, I think, was Les Friedman. I think the eldest was about 16, but we were all juniors, and we all had to be finished by a certain time because the government said we couldn't stay late. We had to be on early so that we could get home at the proper time.
Hang on. What was that about a milkman?
He used to come around yodeling his milk wares, and I picked that up from him, so he taught me to yodel. And so it went from there, and Mum, I think, pushed me to the early days when they were getting people to go on these shows. And so it just went on from there.
Were you a natural?
I suppose I was, because on the Tivoli, in those days, we were called the Tivoli Gang, and there were eight of us. Well, I've got two photographs here. One shows five of us, and the other shows eight of us, but we were called the Tivoli Gang. And we used to all sit on chairs on the stage and individually come out and do our little thing whenever it was time.
And what did a seven-year-old yodeling cowboy wear?
Oh, I used to wear... I had two outfits. I had a pair of chaps made of wool and a colourful check shirt and a neckerchief and a gun on the side. And then I had a big Stetson, of course, big hat. And then I had a six-gun on the side, I mentioned. We couldn't afford the proper boots, so I used to wear rubber gum boots as the boots for the show.
And what sort of songs did you sing?
Oh, I used to sing. One of the things that I remember singing was a tune called Wafer Down in the Holler. And I used to sing yodel songs. I've forgotten names of them now altogether. But I used to adore a yodeling singer in those days, a very old one, called Harry Tarani. And he used to sing some beautiful yodeling songs, which I tried to copy. But most of them were just normal, everyday cowboy songs.
But while the cowboy songs and cowboy outfits might suggest country life, the Tivoli shows were playing in capital cities.
We went to Melbourne, Brisbane and Adelaide and Sydney. And strangely enough, each place I went to, I was required to go to school. So I was entertaining as well as going to school in these various places because the government insisted upon it.
And they travelled?
Always by train, interstate, with the smoke and everything coming out. I used to stick my head out the window and get the smoke.
In the end, he was on the Tivoli circuit for 2 years.
But during that time, I was on the youth show, and I used to do the army camps. And I remember the other day, I used to sing on the stage at Luna Park. They used to have a band there, and they had a stage. And every now and again, they'd have a special artist on. And I remember I used to sing at Luna Park on this band stage.
When he was 11 or 12 years old, something inevitable happened that effectively put a stop to his young career.
I remember when my voice broke, that was in Brisbane, actually, and my sister was with me at that time, and I went out the back and was violently ill, and I didn't sing at all after that.
And it was devastating, of course.
Well, it must have been. It must have been terrible for me because that's all I remember, that I went out the back and that was the end that I remember. I did nothing for about 10 years. I don't know why, but I just didn't sing at all, not even in the bath or anything. I then saw an advertisement in the newspaper calling for boys on farms. So I decided that's where I wanted to go. So out I went.
Tell me about that.
Well, I learned about sheep and about wheat and drove a tractor and worked a lot of night shift and generally worked pretty hard on the farm.
Whereabouts was this, Grade?
This was in a place called Uther, which is a little siding on the way out to Condobolin.
Just push
reaching 16 years of age, our boy checked out a home and to Australia's sunny shore, this cat, he chanced to roam.
That's Wild Colonial Boy, a 1961 single for Grade Wicker. This is Recollections, and we're featuring the music and the story of the real Wicker Man.
I remember it was on the other side of Angelique.
That's right.
That was the last two songs that I ever recorded. Jeff Harvey had just come out from England, or recently come out from England, and they were the first two recordings that he did. And he was playing piano on there and orchestrated both Wild Colonial Boy and Angelique.
So was Jeff Harvey's input into the way you sang Wild Colonial Boy, or was that you?
That's a good question. That's something that I've always concerned myself about. They wanted me to sing like Bobby Darin, and I knew jolly well that I couldn't sing like Bobby Darin. Wild Colonial Boy was my attempt to sing in the Bobby Darin style, which was shocking, awful.
Now, that wasn't the only record that Grade cut that he's not such a big fan of.
One tune that I remember that we rehearsed all day because the group didn't turn up was called, I can only sing a bit of, oh, ha, 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 ha.
Our Summer Romance?
Yes, that dreadful thing. The group didn't turn up, the backing group, and so they made up a group with the musicians who were there. And we rehearsed and we rehearsed and we rehearsed and we rehearsed. And it's all high stuff right up in the air. And by the time we finished to make the recording, I was worn out. So that is a dreadful recording.
That was with the Noel Gilmore Sextet and the Emmatrons backing you.
the Emmatrons was the band members who made up the backing group. The things you used to do.
And when school is through, I'll still be loving you. But 9 months can be so long. I'll cherish every vow for every man now. And feel your lips meet mine.
Grade Wicker with Our Summer Romance. A song incidentally written by Dean Reed, who had a reasonably successful career in the US with songs like I Kissed a Queen, before suddenly moving to the USSR and becoming a huge Soviet star. Much to the shock and surprise of his friends, no doubt because this was at the height of the Cold War.
So by 1961, Grade Wicker had been a child star on the Tivoli circuit and a pop star on the bandstand circuit. His next move took him onto the hotel circuit of a tropical kind.
We went to Tonga. We were asked to go there, Jane and I, to commission and open a resort hotel.
You got fond memories?
Oh, yes, it was excellent. I didn't do any singing through there at all. I don't mean that in the wrong way, but it was really good. It was difficult, but we were there for about 7.5 years. I had been involved in hotels prior to that. I was on Dunk Island for a while. We were at Thredbo, and then we were offered the position in Tonga and so on. So it was all new and very interesting.
Where did you meet Jane?
I met Jane on Hayman Island. I was there for 3.5 years with the Luciani Trio. And Jane came there originally as a hairdresser, I think.
And Jimmy Parkinson was up in Hayman too. Do you remember him?
He was there before me. I've got a recording of his here that was made for Hayman Island to be played on there.
I Left My Heart in Hayman Island?
That's right. Alf and I, the Luciani Trio, we did a recording too. There was a little 45, a few songs that people used to enjoy. And so manager asked us to record, so we went upstairs to his lounge room, and Alf had a pretty good player. And so we recorded four tunes up there in his lounge room.
And you sold them where?
On the island.
What they tell of the boy on a dolphin, who can say if it's true? Should he rise from the depths of the ocean, any wish that you wish will come true.
Now, if that recording is familiar, then chances are you holidayed on Hayman Island when the Alf Luciani trio with Grade Wicker were there.
As Grade mentioned there, he met his wife Jane on Hayman, and they went on to form a successful double act on the club circuit.
Jane is a very good hula dancer, or of course she's aged a bit now like me, but we had a double act where I used to sing fairly big songs in the opening section, always two-part acts in those days. And I did a few big songs with a comedy section where I used to change hats and change my voice and Jane used to come in. And the second part was all South Sea Island. I played the guitar and sang Hawaiian songs and Jane used to come on and dance, get people up from the audience, and hang a banana in front of the men and all that sort of carry on.
And what did you call yourselves?
Grade Wicker and Jane. We worked through Carol Jacobson. We used to go to the Central Coast on weekends, did a lot around the Central Coast.
Was it good fun?
It was demanding. Jane's shaking her head and said, no, it wasn't. In those days, we used to get $32 a spot, which was two 20-minute spots.
Good heavens.
Yeah, I know, good heavens. That was money we had to earn in those days. She was working during the day and so was I. I was selling life insurance. And Jane was working in a real estate office.
And so how long have you been retired from everything?
We had a coffee lounge in Muswellbrook. I used to sing on the veranda there, just strum away and sing a few songs. In 2005, we closed the coffee shop here. Yeah.
So it's almost time for the final 45 to drop onto our automatic record player. And we hope you've enjoyed hearing about the long and varied career of Grade Wicker. But before we go, we have one last gem of information for you. Grade didn't reveal this himself, but his wife did.
Another thing you might know, Grade is a distant relative of Tony Lamond and her stepsister, Helen Reddy. Grade's sister was also an entertainer. She's with Sawley's in the Tent Show.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook to stay in the loop about future programs and get access to images of the discs that we played. And you can also stream this and some of our past shows via the Radio National website. And while you're there, why not share the link with a friend?
And we'll leave you with one of our favourites from Grade, Lulu Brown.
Her sweetie went away and left poor Lulu down.